This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
And so I want to talk to you today about a key. I believe if you grasp this key this morning, you're going to walk in divine health. Amen? And it's a key, you know, it's the most powerful key that you could stand on in the Word of God. So today I want to convey to you that this key is walking in the love of God to receive your healing. Amen. Somebody say it's all about love.
It's all about love.
Amen. And so we got to get a revelation of God's love for us. And that's the greatest revelation you can walk in is God's love for you. Amen. And when we are walking in God's love, we will be able to partake of all that God has for us. You believe that today? There's a powerful prayer in the book of Ephesians. And I think, I don't know how many of you need to walk in. Anybody in here need to walk in more love? Amen. Or are you walking in enough love? Amen. I'm telling you, has anybody's love been tested in here? Amen. Has your love walk ever been tested? Amen. And I'm going to say this, as long as we're in this world, we're going to deal with circumstances and situations that's going to rock our love walk. Amen? And it's going to test our love walk. And that's the reason why we got to learn to stay in the love of God. Amen? And I love this because in Ephesians, we've been studying the book of Ephesians on Wednesdays. And this is a great prayer. It's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. And this is part of the prayer. He started a prayer in chapter 1, and then he had the next part of it's in chapter 3. So let's look at this. In Ephesians 3, 16 and 19, he says that this is a prayer that I believe that you can pray for yourself and for your family members and for growth. And the main thing we need to grow in is love. I'm going to say it again. The main thing as Christians we need to grow in is love. Amen? And, you know, the Bible actually says this way, that the world is going to get more cold. The world is going to, there's going to be more hate in the world, but in the church, it should be more love. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? More love. Amen? All the world needs is more love. Amen? And I love this. And it says here this is the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 3, 16 and 19. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now, when you think about God, and you think about God as being Almighty God, but, you know, God, his essence is love. God doesn't just have love, he is love. And I'm telling you, when you receive Jesus in your life, you receive the love of God on the inside of you. Now, I know some of you may be struggling in the flesh at times to walk in love. We all struggle. But if you pray this prayer in Ephesians, that you would be rooted and grounded in his love, that you'd be able to comprehend all that Jesus has done for you through his death, burial and resurrection, I'm telling you, you're going to become happy people, and you're going to walk in love. And I think sometimes we forget the goodness of God in our lives. And I'm going to say this, never forget the goodness of God in your life. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this, if you're going to receive healing, you're going to have to receive it by faith. Would you all agree there? I mean, if you're going to receive anything from God, it has to be by faith. Is that right? Would you agree with me there? And if you're going to walk, if you're going to receive healing, you're going to have to understand that faith has different components that works with it to make it work. And so I love this because in Galatians 5 and 6, this is the Apostle Paul, and he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision," meaning that, you know, it's not by doing the works of the law. That's not where it's all at. But what it's faith working through love. Because you can do a lot of works with a lot of anger in your heart. Have you ever done anything for anybody and you were resenting it? Have you ever resented in your heart? You're doing it, right? But you're not real happy about doing it. Is that right? In other words, you got an attitude. Has anybody in here ever had an attitude in serving God? Don't raise your hand. Because both hands would come up from Pastor Dave. Sometimes we can get resentful. Sometimes we can harbor bitterness. Sometimes we can have an attitude. Has anybody had an attitude in a while? Amen? So we got to understand this, that pure faith is walking in pure love, and that love is always towards God and towards people. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so I'm going to say this. The most difficult thing in the world at times is to walk in God's love. Because Jesus talks about like when somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. What? Turn the other cheek? Amen. No, you slap me, I want to fight back. Is that right? We want to fight back. That's the nature of the flesh, is to fight back. Amen? But the nature of the spirit, because you are spirit. I'm going to say it again. You are a spirit. You live in a body. And you have a soul and an intellect. You are spirit beings, glory to God. And God is a spirit being. And God's love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, glory to God. Amen. And I'm going to say this. God will help you walk in love. If you ask him, you got to ask him to help you walk in love. Amen. So breaking the love law can actually open the door to dis-ease. I like to break it down. Dis-ease. See, when we're out of love, out of all love, when we're in anger and bitterness and all this, it will cause us to have dis-ease. Amen. We're not going to be walking in peace. We're not going to be walking in joy. Amen? Because when we're out of sorts with either God or with people, it can open the door for the enemy to work. Amen? And let's look at Galatians 5:13. And let's get a little bit more of a grasp on this love thing here. In Galatians 5:13 and 15, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Amen. So I'm thinking, you know, Paul has raised up a bunch of churches, and he's probably seen some things in church where people weren't getting along. Amen. He's seen some things. He's talking about people biting and devouring one another. Amen. We don't want to be biting and devouring one another. Amen. That's not what we do as Christians. Amen. But he's talking about people are biting and devouring one another, which means they're getting upset with one another. And he's saying that don't use your liberty in the spirit as an opportunity to serve yourself. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. We're not supposed to be using our liberty as an opportunity to serve ourselves. In other words, we're going to be eating after this. Don't be grabbing the biggest piece of the pie. Amen. In other words, let the pastor have the biggest piece. I'm kidding. Amen. There's enough cheesecake to go around for everybody. Amen. Yen made two cheesecakes. Glory to God. So I think there's enough to go around. Amen. And so again, the love of God compels us to serve one another and to love one another. And walking in the love, walking out of love, brings a curse of sickness and lack in our lives. Do you believe that today? And if you're going to walk in the provision of healing and abundance, you got to understand that sickness and lack is a curse. And we can open the door to the curse in our lives. Amen? And so I want to say this, that some people believe, and I'm talking about healing today, I'm talking about receiving healing through walking in the love of God. Amen? And some people believe that healing is brought about by God correcting us. Some people believe that. Some ministers will preach that God corrects us through sickness. And I'm going to debunk that this morning. God doesn't correct us through sickness. And can I give you a scripture that backs that up this morning? Amen. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Did you see that? So the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this tells me that God doesn't want to correct us through sickness. He corrects us by His word. I don't have to get sick to learn something. Amen. I don't have to. God doesn't, you know, He's not putting sickness on people. Amen. To teach them or bring correction to their life. Sickness comes about by us opening a door some way, or for the devil, sometimes he will randomly attack us even when we're walking right, because the devil will test our faith. Do you believe that? The devil will test, even if you're walking in love, the devil will test your faith to get you out of love. Have you ever gotten sick and gotten a little cranky in your sickness? The devil's trying to get us out of love, get us out of praising God. But we need to praise God. God's love delivers us from the curse of the law. I love that. And we need to be thinking about this wherever we're going through, that God loves, redeems us. In Galatians 3:13 and 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Jesus loved us so much that He paid the price to get rid of the curse in our lives. And that curse is threefold. Jesus paid the price for us to experience the love of God in our lives. In other words, for us to have spiritual life. Spiritual life is really knowing the love of the Father. That's what spiritual life is. Eternal life is knowing God. Amen. Well, you guys aren't too convinced. Amen. Spiritual life is knowing God. Amen. In Romans 3:23, I love this because Jesus has redeemed us from spiritual death of all kinds. Amen? And that spiritual death can be depression. That goes under the spirit of death. It can be anxiety. That goes under the spirit. God, Jesus has delivered us from the spirit of death. You believe that today? In Romans 3:23 and 26, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. Through faith He demonstrated His righteousness because of His forbearance. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate that all at this present time His righteousness, that it might be just for the justifier, that one who has faith in Jesus. Now I know that's a lot, But what it's saying is that God's grace covered your sins before you got saved. Amen. God's grace covered you before you even got Jesus in your life. God's grace was on your life when you were the furthest away from God. God was drawing you by His Spirit, and He was drawing you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and He was overlooking your sinfulness to get a relationship with you. That's powerful. That's powerful. And I'm going to say this, God's not focused on your misses. He's not focused on your shortcomings. He's not focused on that. He's focused on you in Christ Jesus. He sees you through the blood of Christ Jesus. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." We are redeemed from spiritual death, and that's death of every kind you can think of. Amen? Do you believe that today? Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. We're also redeemed from the curse of poverty. In other words, God doesn't want any one of us in lack for anything. And I'm telling you, Jesus became poor. Through His poverty, we might become rich. And rich is having more than enough to meet your needs and to meet the needs of others. It doesn't mean all of you have to be a millionaire. Amen? It just means that you have an abundance. That means that you don't have any lack. That means that the ends meet at the end of the month. Amen? Glory to God. That means you have a little bit. Maybe have a little bit to give into the church and a little bit maybe go on vacation. Amen. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. God's okay with vacations as long as you keep them in the vacation. Amen. Glory to God. So 2 Corinthians, so you make it a mission trip and call it a vacation. No, I'm kidding. But in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through He was rich, yet for His sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Amen. In Galatians 3:29, it says, "If you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise." I don't know if you realize this, but Abraham was a wealthy man. Abraham was wealthy, and the same blessing that Abraham walked in, we can walk in. Now, you are also redeemed from the curse of sickness. Amen. You don't have to get sick for God to teach you something. Amen. I'll learn it before I get sick. Amen. And you don't have to suffer, amen? In Isaiah 53:4-5, this is the signature scriptures pertaining to healing. And it says here, "Surely He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows." I love that. And I love griefs and sorrows. That means you don't have to grieve, you don't have to sorrow, but you can actually translate that into sicknesses and pains as well. So you can add, He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains as well. "Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes you are healed." I'm telling you, that is powerful. That's a powerful. You know, healing is not just a promise. It's a fact in the mind of God. A lot of us believe that, oh, I'm trying to get my healing. No, Jesus already got it for you. He already paid for it for you. You just need to learn to receive it. You don't have to get it. You just have to receive it. And how do you receive it? You start thanking God by His stripes. You are healed before you see it. You call those things that be not as though they were. You call it into existence. You call healing into existence. Amen. Amen. You don't say what you don't want. You say what you do want. Amen. So you don't say, "I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer." No, that's not faith. You say, "I have healing by the stripes of Jesus." Amen. You don't call what you don't want. You call what you do want. You call the things that be not as though they were. And that's what God did with Abraham. God called Abraham a father of many nations before he had his promised child, Isaac. And he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. God calls it and it happens. You call it and it happens. You need to start calling healing into your lives. Amen? I love that. And so we're talking about that God has redeemed us from these curses. Amen? If we're going to walk in healing, we got to walk in God's ways. If we're going to walk in God's healing, we got to walk in God's ways. In Exodus 15, 26, it says this, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Now, we know this was under the old covenant, but if you're walking in light as he is in the light, then you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So what's the key? Is walking in the light. Amen? So if you're going to walk in the love of God, amen, you're going to have to walk in the love of God towards people, glory to God, and towards God. Jesus said it this way when they were asking Jesus a question about the greatest commandment in Matthew. It says, teacher, which is the great commandment? Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang the entire law of the prophets. Now, when I back this up in Exodus, it talks about obeying all the laws perfectly. Amen? And that's a hard pill to swallow. Amen? But you know what? You just need to boil it down to two laws. Forget about all the other laws. If you just boil it down to two laws, what's the two laws, Pastor? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you do that, then you take care of all the stuff in Exodus. That I obey everything perfectly. We don't obey everything perfectly, but if you're walking in love, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That's your sins. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Love covers a multitude of sins. That means that, yes, you might not be perfect, but if you're maintaining your love walk, you got a lot of grace and mercy working in your life. What is the devil trying to do? Get you out of love. The devil's trying to get you angry. The devil's trying to get you upset. The devil's trying to get you irritated. Has anybody been there lately? Yes. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're not going to get irritated. We're not going to allow the devil to get us upset. We're not going to get angry. Amen. If you're going to get angry, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at people. Get mad at the devil. Amen. Because it's the devil that's coming against us. Flesh and blood is not your problem. It's the devil. The devil is your problem. It's not people. Glory to God. Now the devil uses people to come against us, but we can take authority over that spirit that's working through people, and we bind that spirit in Jesus' name and claim favor. Amen. Hallelujah. That's if you're having problems with somebody. Amen. And so the love of God is loving God and loving people. And I love this in Psalms 15:1-5. It kind of gives us a little a key on how to walk in the love of God. And really, there's a lot of in the Bible of what not to do. Have you ever read the not to do's in the Bible? There's a lot of not to do's in the Bible. There's a lot of do's and a lot of not to do. To do and a lot of not to do's. And I'm going to read some not to do's. Amen. It says here in Psalms 15:1-5, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill. I love this. And I know this is Old Testament, okay? But I believe this is talking about having a fellowship with the Lord. Who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. So you got to be transparent with God And you need to be transparent with people. Be honest. Glory to God. In a loving way. Amen. Be honest in a loving way. Amen. You don't have to be brutally honest. But you can be honest in a loving way. Amen. And he says here, works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. And he says, he who does not backbite with his tongue. Wow, we don't want to backbite with our tongue. Nor does evil to his neighbor. So we don't want to do evil to our neighbor. Nor take a reproach against a friend in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But honors those who fear the Lord. So we want to honor those who love God. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. That means when you put your word out, keep it. Hallelujah. Boy, that's quiet in this Methodist church today. He who does not put out his money as usury, he does not take a bribe against the innocent, and he does these things, he shall not be moved. And I believe this, that as we are keeping ourselves, because what gets you in trouble is your words. I'm going to say it again, what gets us in trouble, it's us speaking against people. Glory to God. It's us speaking against the situation. It's us speaking. Even you never even want to say anything negative about yourself. Amen? Because you don't want to focus on your negatives. The Bible says, focus on every good thing that God has deposited on the inside of you. You don't focus on how weak you are. You focus on how strong you are in God. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? You don't focus on your sickness. You focus on the healing. You don't focus on, the lack. You focus on the prosperity that God has given you through Jesus Christ. You don't focus on the negative. You focus on the positive. And you may say, that's easier said than done, Pastor. You're not in my shoes. Amen. But listen, I might not be in your shoes, but I understand where you're coming from because I've been there. I've been through wars. I've been through the tests. I've been through trials, and I'm still standing. And I'm going to say this. You might be going through a trial today, a trial of your faith. But if you remain in the love of God, you don't forget about His love, that He loves you, and that He's going to bring you through every trial, every tribulation. He's going to bring you through the storm to the other side. Do you believe that today? He's going to bring you through the fire without the smell of smoke on your clothes. Can I get a witness in the house today? Do I have anybody tracking with me today? Glory to God. Understanding God's love will keep the healing flowing in our lives. Moses experienced the love of God. And he experienced the love of God when he was up on the mountain with the Lord. Amen? So you got to get up in the mountain in your prayer life to experience the love of God. And this is what happened. The children of Israel made a golden calf. And they were dancing and partying around this golden calf. And what happened? Abraham took the first 10 commandments and broke them. Moses took the, not Abraham. We don't want to get Abraham in trouble this morning. Moses took the 10 commandments and broke them. And so he came back up. And the Lord, the Lord wanted to show Moses what his character was like, what God's character. And some people say, well, God is just, and he is just. And God will make sure everything is done right, and He will. But His character is love. And in Exodus 34, 5 and 6 says, now the Lord descended on the cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Notice this, that the Lord wanted to reveal to Moses that the first thing that came to Moses was that the Lord is merciful. And I'm telling you, if there's anybody you're praying for, maybe they're not walking with God. Maybe there's a relative, somebody special that you're praying for. Always pray for, if they're not doing the right things, for the mercy of God to be on their lives. Just pray for God's mercy. Pray for God's mercy. And watch God turn their situation around. Because I'm telling you, all you need is one drop of God's mercy. And I'm telling you, it can turn your situation around in a New York second. And it says that the Lord is merciful and He is gracious, long-suffering. Amen. Can somebody say long-suffering? Amen. Long-suffering. That means that He's waiting on those that aren't doing the right things to come to Him. The Bible says that God's not slack concerning His promises pertaining to coming back here to pick us up. He's not slack. But He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for some of your wayward relatives to wake up and smell the coffee. Are you hearing what? He's waiting on those to come into the kingdom. And I'm telling you, when He is waiting on the harvest. And sometimes you're going to have to wait on the harvest. Sometimes you may be sowing seeds of love and you might not be seeing the grace yet. But keep waiting, it's coming. Amen. Keep waiting, it's coming. Amen? And I love what David, what God revealed to David in Psalms 103. It says, the Lord is merciful, 8 through 13, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punish us according to our iniquities. That is powerful. That's powerful. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. How many people in here fear God? That means that you worship God. How many worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the house today? Do you honor God? Because His mercy are towards those who fear Him, glory God. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him, glory to God. God is amazing. And I'm going to say this, that in Matthew, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament, they were hateful religious people. And God doesn't want to raise up hateful religious people. Loving, kind people, is that what God wants in His army? Amen. Amen. And in Matthew 23:23, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they thought that they were all that because they were tithers. Amen. They were tithing, but they were lacking a couple things in their tithing. And I'm going to say this, that if you're a giver, if you're a tither, that's great. That's very commendable. You want to be that, but you want to add something to your giving. Amen. And He says here, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matter, the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you have ought to done without leaving the others undone. So Jesus is advocating for tithing. And then He says here that you should be walking in justice, mercy, and truth. If you're going to walk in the love of God, you need to walk in justice. And justice is doing what's right towards people. Are you doing what's right towards people? In other words, if you're going to walk in the love of God, you got to make sure that you're not doing anything crooked in your life. I'm going somewhere this morning. You don't want no crookedness in your life. Amen. And in Matthew 7:12, especially, you want to walk in right standing with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Number two, we need to add to our tithing and our giving mercy. Amen? And mercy is giving compassion and love to those that don't deserve it. Amen. I'm telling you, have you ever come across people that really grated on your nerves? They did things, they said things that weren't right, and you need to learn to extend some mercy to keep looking straight ahead. Don't look at your neighbor. And you need to extend mercy to those that don't do right. Amen? In Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." If you want how many people want favor in your life? I want the favor of God to be in my life. So if you want the favor of God in your life, you must stay in walking in the mercy gifts. You got to walk in the mercy of God, and then God's favor comes on your life. Amen? Amen. And faith is activated. So justice, mercy, and faith. And faith is activated by walking in God's word and doing God's word, keeping in his love. Amen? And in John 15, 10, it says, "If you keep my commandments," this is powerful, "you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." What happens is that if you're going into sin in your life and you're doing the wrong things, you won't abide in God's love. Abiding in God's love is obeying him. When you obey God, even when your flesh doesn't feel like it, the love of God will come into your life. Can I get a witness in the house today? Walking in God's love, another key, keeps us out of fear. Fear opens the door to sickness and poverty in our lives. We got fear is the acronym false evidence appearing real. So fear will open the door to dis-ease in our life. There's a lot of people that are dealing with problems because they're opening the door through worry, through anxiety, through these things. I believe there's over 365 times where it says fear not in the Bible. And so we don't want to fear, amen? So when anything negative comes our way, we need to learn to give it to the Lord. Say, "I'm giving it to God." So walking in God's love destroys fear in our lives. And fear is a door opener for dis-ease to come into our lives. I believe that. You can't be in fear that you're going to catch something. You can't be in fear that you're going to get something. Amen? That's not, you know, no. God gives all good gifts to those that love him. And God doesn't give anything bad. Amen? And you can't be in fear that you're going to catch something. I'm not going to be afraid of catching something. Amen? Glory to God. Because I know that God's protecting me. I know God. I can't be in fear if somebody comes up here, you know. Can you imagine somebody come here and that's sick, and I'm praying because the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What if I was afraid to touch them? Amen? Then I wouldn't be obeying the word of God. No, God's power protects me, and I will pray for anybody that might be dealing with sickness in their bodies. I'm not afraid to lay hands on the sick because they shall recover, glory to God. And if you sow healing, you'll reap healing. Amen. That's free this morning. Amen. So there is no, in 1 John 4, 18 and 19, it says it this way, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Amen? So here, he's saying that when we get perfected in God's love, that it should push out any fear in our lives. The reason why we got anxiety, the reason why we are dealing with maybe areas of depression at times, is because we're not rooted and grounded in God's love enough. We need to get more rooted and grounded and get a revelation of God's love. I love that. And I love this because here's some scriptures that talks about that we should stay away from fear. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear not, I am with you." So you got to remember this. Whenever you're in the storms of life, God is with you. It says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think about that. So I'm telling you, God can he's saying to us through Isaiah, fear not. Why? Because God is with us. If he's with us, we are the majority. It doesn't matter how many people or how many things are coming against you. The greater one is for you. Amen? Amen. I like what it says in Psalms 23, 4 and 5. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I love that. And you know, these are scriptures that you can quote. These are scriptures when the devil starts working on you in fear and anxiety, you need to start quoting some of these scriptures. Amen? For it says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And in Joshua, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Think about that. Think about that. So God is with you no matter what you're going through. Amen? So I'm going to say this. If you're going to walk in faith, you got to activate your faith by being a doer of the word. Being a doer of the word is activate your faith. Don't let the enemy keep you from coming to church. If you're going to walk in the faith of God, in the love of God, keep coming to church on a regular basis. Glory to God. Amen. And I love that because the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, let us hold fast confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much as more to see the day is approaching. So he's saying here that if we're going to walk in the love of God, we come together and we build each other up. If we're going to walk in the love of God, we continue to stay generous towards the church and towards people. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7-8, so let us each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudging necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you might say, well, what if I'm not a cheerful giver? Still give, amen? And God is able. I love this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you in all sufficiency. So I'm going to say this. All grace pertains to healing grace, pertains to delivering grace. All grace, when we're walking in the love of God and we're being generous towards others, his grace will work in our lives. And the third key, if we're going to walk in the love of God, that we're going to have to learn to be forgiving people. Amen? Because I'm going to say this, that the most hardest thing that we're going to ever do in this life is to forgive those that offend us. That is the most hard, that's the most difficult thing to deal with, is to forgive those that offend us. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And Peter thought he was being generous. He said up to 7 times. He thought he was going out the nth degree. And he thought that Jesus was saying, no, that's a little too much, Peter. 7, that's way too much. You know, no. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Wow. Amen. And I think another place in the scripture, I think they said, oh, Lord, give us more faith. Give us more faith. It takes faith to forgive. You believe that today? And then Jesus gives that parable about the king that forgives the man that had all this debt. And I'm not going to read it to you today. But the man had all this debt and he begged the king. And the king forgave him of the debt. And then you know the story. The man found another guy that owed him some money and took him by the throat and started choking him. And said, give me all the money you owe me. And the guy said, please have mercy on me. I'll pay you back. And he said, no, I'm going to throw you in prison. Amen. And so the man was not, he was an unloving man, wasn't he? He received mercy, but he didn't give any mercy. Amen. And then the king found out. And the king brought him back and said, you know what? You should have forgave that man. And because you're not, the sin, the debt that I forgave you, it's back on you again. Debt can come back on you if you don't walk in love and forgiveness. I don't want my debt coming back on me. Amen. And so what's the key? The unloving man received mercy and had his debt forgiven. But the unloving man forgot the mercy of the king and gave no mercy to the one that owed him. And the king brought him back and put the debt back on him and allowed him to go into punishment of the sin of not forgiving others. What is that saying to us today? That's saying that if we don't forgive, that can open the door to demonic powers to come against us and to hurt us. And we need to learn to walk in love and forgiveness. And James 2:13, it says, for judgment is without... Now, this is powerful. Now, don't go to sleep on me right now. This is powerful. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Think about this. Think about what he's saying here. For judgment is without mercy. God's judgment is without mercy to the one that has shown no mercy. In other words, when you get judged by God, you want his mercy. But it says here, but if you don't have mercy, those no mercy will be in that judgment for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And I want to make sure that I have God's mercy working in his judgment in my life. Amen? Because I need his mercy. So that, what does that tell me? That means that I'm gonna walk in mercy. And the next verse says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Glory to God. So we see here that as we walk in the love of God, as we walk in the mercy of God, we're gonna receive the healing power of God in our life. To recap, faith receives healing, is activated by walking in God's love towards God and others. Faith is demonstrated through us serving one another in love. God's love acted on and responded removes fear and worry out of our lives. Fear and worry opens the door to sickness and disease. Understanding God's nature of love keeps us abiding in his love. God's love compels us to love the body of Christ. God's love compels us to be generous. God's love compels us to forgive others and be merciful to those that are unmerciful. Did you receive it this morning? I believe that this church is going to the next level of walking in greater love. And when you walk in greater love, I'm telling you, you're going to receive all the blessings because love is always connected to faith. And faith is the key that opens the door for God's blessings to be in your lives. Did you receive it this morning? I believe you did. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness. I thank you, Father God, it's your love. Father, you love us so much that you overlook our misses. You overlook our shortcomings because you see the best in each one of us. And Father, I'm asking that you help us to see the best in each and of everybody that we are in contact with. And perhaps you are in the audience. Perhaps you are watching online and you've never made the commitment to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, today is a day of salvation. I want to invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord by praying this simple prayer. Just pray this out loud, mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you may grow in your faith. If you're here locally, come on out. Be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home that you get hooked up with so that you can be all that God's called you to be. Amen. Thank you for tuning in.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.